You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Thank you, Ivan. If you could do, we do need the headphones. If, in fact, Dr. Ben rings in, we will need the headphones unless you think you can hear him from Sydney. And put your ear to the road and see if the sound will travel down the highway.
Reverberate.
But he hasn't rung in, so we're just sitting here like a cat sitting outside a mouse
hole.
What am I trying to say here? A cat sitting outside a mouse hole when there's cheese in the mouse trap, the cat is sitting outside with bated breath. I'm not sure if I got that right. Bated breath is when you. Anyhow, we're sitting here with bated breath, waiting for the doc, Dr. Ben Fordham, who someone said, why do we call him Dr. Ben Fordham? It was that woman, wasn't it?
That woman.
Debbie, wasn't it? Debbie.
Debbie Dashhound or something. Debbie Dashley. She'll find out why we call him Dr. Ben, because he'll come on and give a medical description of how he's going with Don and anything else.
Does he still catch up with Don?
There's a good question we're going
to
ask
him. Add that one to the list.
We've been given the arse. Don.
From Don.
I've been given the arse.
Well, maybe he could be psychoanalyzing you instead of Don.
Thank you, Susan. He thinks that Don was pulling the wool over my eyes. He said he couldn't be that stupid. And he's playing you on a break. And
I reckon he's right.
I'm with you, Sue. I'm with you.
Well, just before the doc calls in, 21st of July, Mike Tyson is fighting Jake Paul over in America, Arlington, Texas.
Would it be a serious fight?
This is a serious fight for serious money. And it's going to be streamed on Netflix.
30 years age different, you think it's going to be a serious fight?
My money's on Tyson, for sure. Yeah, he's 57 against Jake Paul, who's 27.
And who's Jake Paul?
He's a professional boxer.
He's a professional boxer.
He is. His brother is Logan Paul, who is the Instagrammer.
Don't worry about who his brother is. What has Mr. Paul got that... why would he... He built a living suitcase out of Mike Tyson, wouldn't he?
Yeah, I think maybe Iron Mike Tyson might be doing it for money. Well, and Jake Paul might be doing it for notoriety.
Yeah, to say he beat the man who bit off the ear of... Orlando.
No, I'd wear your earmuffs.
I'd be covering my ears.
Yeah, yep.
But well, it's like, isn't it, the boxers, isn't it? Dane Swan and a few other guys are doing a celebrity boxing over in South Australia.
Have they all been cleared medically yet? Ricky Nixon's running that, isn't he?
He is. I think he got the boys together for the AFL side of things. So there's about three or four.
Have they got to get cleared medically?
Pairs. They do.
In case someone delivers a king hit and kills someone.
Which is in 3 weeks' time, and I think he hasn't got the doctor to sign off yet.
It wouldn't be like Ricky not crossing the T's and dotting the I's. Oh, shit, no.
And he can't get him into another
have the
to a week.
Doctor inspecting him in the ring. Could he just be on the stool before the bell goes?
He could be the Don King of Australian boxing, baby.
what a very sharp analogy.
Comment,
the Don King of Australia, Ricky.
Just needs a bit more hair.
Now, just before the doc rings in, did you notice this? You think I'm making this up? A woman's dog was attacked. Did you see that?
No.
And a woman's dog was attacked. I'm not sure it was in Australia. You could Google it. And I saw her being interviewed, and she said the thing that got the dog, the big dog off her dog, because it bit her, bit half its leg off, she had the presence of mind to stick her finger up its ass. Yeah, and she said, you couldn't believe when I stuck my... This is true. She said, I stuck my finger up its bottom, the dog went... Obviously not a gay dog because... obviously not gay because it took it by surprise it let go of the woman. This is your... Google it.
I know because I've got an English staffy. So if ever a dog... Has to if it because they got locked jaw.
Yeah, don't tell me you've put your finger up your dog's ass.
Well, I haven't as yet because he hasn't been aggressive. But that is one of the things that you learn.
Is that the thing sitting next to my feet here under the desk?
It is.
And you're saying
it's asleep.
It's got lockjaw.
It's got lockjaw. Yeah.
And so if it gets agitated, but what if I kick it by mistake here? Because it is under. I could put the microphone down. And you could hear
step on
panting.
His tail.
Yeah, I'll put it down.
He's not panting. He snores.
I'll put it down.
Can he fart?
The Bosco
farts. Can he fart? Hang on, I'll get the microphone. Just a minute. I'll get the microphone down here. Bosco, here.
Quick, get the finger.
Quick, see the finger.
That's him.
I tell you, if my dog was another dog was going aggressively like that, I wouldn't be sticking my finger. I'd be sticking my whole fist up it.
Where would
I can
the
tell
one
you, right?
You'd fist it.
Absolutely.
Holy shit. If you just tuned in.
Sounds like a hellfire club.
If you've just got onto the podcast, we're actually talking about a woman who stuck her finger up its dog's ass. Here he is. Holy shit. Here we go. Sue, answer the phone. Here we go. Oh, it's exciting. This is. Hello?
Hello, hello.
There he is. Oh, look, this is
greetings.
So exciting. It's too loud, isn't it? Doc.
Yes, sir.
How are you? Pressure of business. So this is. Are you sure you're going to be able to continue to do this? Because that's the only reason we keep doing the podcast is you ringing in once a fortnight.
Mate, please don't put it on me. And my apologies if my phone line isn't as clear as it usually is. I'm on the mobile today, not the landline.
No,
I love a landline. Am I the only person who still loves a landline? Whenever anyone, if you've got a landline, they act like I'm talking another language.
Beautiful. No, landlines are good. Yep. Like we're land lovers and we love it like landlines.
Yep. Grandma loves it.
Now,
who have you got with you today, Sam?
We've got the Muff Man.
Lovely.
And we've got Ivan.
G'day,
and
Doc.
Suzanne Stanley. And Doug Hawkins said, I texted him on Sunday last, and I said, can you come in? He said, yes, I'll be in next Wednesday. And we were waiting for about 10 minutes, and I rang him, and I said, you're coming in next Wednesday, because the next Wednesday is usually the Wednesday after the time that you speak earlier on. He said, yes, I meant Wednesday week. So that's a long-winded way of saying there's just four of us here, Doc.
As a race, we need to kind of sort that out, don't we? As a species, we need to sort that out, the discrepancy between this week and next week and what it all means. Like if I said to you, next Sunday, what would you presume that means?
Next Sunday would be the next day that turns up that's got Sunday written on it.
No, I'm with you, Doc.
That's this Sunday.
Yep, true. Yep.
That's this Sunday.
I get you. Yeah, no.
But then again,
take that on
advisement. Wouldn't you say, if it was not this coming Sunday but the one after, wouldn't you say Sunday week?
Sunday week, yep.
Very good, Doc. I know you got me there. I would say next Sunday. No, this Sunday coming. That is quite correct. I'll bow to your. Well, this is a bit like midnight and noon. There is no such thing as 12 a.m. or 12 p.m. No, there's not.
I just educated one of my younger producers about this week, where he'd written in a script. He said, it's happening at 4 a.m. tomorrow morning. And I said, oh, mate, that's my right. Mother, the big kahuna, Veronica, she taught me a long, long time ago. It's either 4 o'clock tomorrow morning or it's 4 a.m. It's not 4 a.m. in the morning because it's the same thing.
It's redundant.
Listen, I'm going to attack Melbourne. I'm attacking Melbourne right now and I'm risking everything because I know that the analytics tell us that about 61% of You Cannot Be Serious podcast listeners are based in Victoria. Mm-hmm. But what a bunch of wusses you are in Melbourne. You are so soft. You cancelled the Moomba Festival because it was too hot.
Agreed.
Say that again,
what
Doc. What do we call it? Moomba.
Moomba.
I don't know what it is. Yeah, none of us have ever heard of it in Sydney. We don't give a crap about it. But all I heard was, they've cancelled this festival in Melbourne, and I thought, there must have been some terrible tragedy. What was there, a terrorism event? Was there some kind of natural disaster that occurred?
Doc, I was about to say that, and I looked over at Suzanne Stanley, who is on the Moomba Academy at the council, and I said, I was about to say, can you believe they... And she said, it was quite right that they did cancel it, and she can tell you now why she thinks... And she is on the council.
I'm not on the council, no. I'm Melbourne Day. We run the Junior Lord Mayor competition, and we have the junior, the five or six finalists, and they're in a Cadillac open car, and all the float people, we're lined up, I swear, I reckon for an hour and a half before we even start the parade, because you have to be there, you know,
so that they're there.
And then, so that you got the young kids, and there's no water. They don't give you no water, or they don't give you anything.
Why couldn't they provide water?
Well, this is another thing, because... What?
You're supposed to be on the committee. Get some friggin' water.
I'm not on the committee. I'm only for the competition, which is one float.
But you had to get the girls to go on it.
Sacked.
I know. But it's the city of Melbourne just being scared.
If I was running this knucklehead committee, the first thing I would say, Sam, get some friggin' water for the kids. They're going to die.
Yep. I said to Sue, how many times have they cancelled the Moomba Parade because of weather? She said, never. That's a sign of the times. Don't tell me it wasn't hot 100 years. Do you know what Moomba means, incidentally, Doc? It's an indigenous word. It means up your bum.
That's it.
It means up your bottom.
It means we need water. Don't get me wrong. If it's really warm, if it's really hot, I'm known to cancel things. I'll say to some mates, hey, listen, I know we were supposed to do whatever, but it's 43 degrees on Sunday. Do you want to can it? We'll do it another time, right? That's fine. But you don't cancel the whole festival and say we're just not going to do it. You give people the option. You can either go ahead with it or not.
Oh, it's just
because
the parade.
I hate to break it. I know, but we're going to have a lot of these warm days. I mean, I've noticed in Sydney this year, Sydney's just been so humid all year this year. Even I get up at bloody 3 o'clock in the morning and step outside at 3:30, and it's sticky. You know, like we get used to it. We live in Australia, right? It's a sunburnt country. So I think when you start deciding to cancel things because it's a bit too hot, I think that's a dangerous road.
Well, Doc, you'll love this. We've mentioned this, that I want your opinion on this, incidentally. The climate extinction bacteria have locked this city down for days now, and when one of them was interviewed, the dribbling little girl that was interviewed, not the interviewer, the interviewee, she said, well, look, you're sweating now. It just shows you the climate is changing. This was 7:30 in the morning. We have had 3 days of pretty hot weather, and you would sweat at 7:30 in the morning. But, of course, it was been pretty hot 100 years ago at 7:30 in the morning. But she said, because you were sweating at 7:30 in the morning, that's why we're protesting, because climate is changing. Can you believe it?
And what about those people who blocked all the traffic?
The bacteria.
They got up on the West Gate Bridge.
That's them. That's extinction.
Climbed on top of it, blocked three lanes. I mean, geez, they're not keen on winning a popularity contest, these people, are they?
It's not even the point of that. It's just the fact it's so puerile, and why we put up, why does the council or the police put up with it? You can't go and stand in the middle of a road without being arrested. Get the big wagons and the hoses, put them in the back of the trucks and take them to a compound and ask them who they are, where they come from, where are their parents, how much money you got, and you're going to pay for the disruption.
Well, you know, we constantly hear people saying, you know, back in my day or in the old day, things were done differently. If you played up, a cop would have given you a kick up the backside, etc. Mm-hmm. There are some people out there who still like the good old days, and I'll give you an example of it, right? Yesterday, I had parent-teacher meetings for my son, Freddie, who's in year four at primary school. He's in, so 9 years of age, year four. And his teacher this year, he's got a male teacher for the first time. There's not a lot of them around. His name's Mr. R. That's what they call him, right?
Right.
So we see Mr. R yesterday, and at the end of the parent-teacher meeting, and he told us, he said, look, Freddie's smart, he's committed, he's energetic or whatever. He does get a little bit carried away sometimes with wanting to have too much fun. He goes, I try and pull that back a bit. And I said, well, Mr. R, just so we're all clear here in front of Jody and in front of me and in front of you, if you need to go hard on my son at any time, I said, I give you an ironclad guarantee that the parents are never going to come in here and whinge. if you really need to go hard on him. I said, so, mate, I know you've got some eggshell parents out there who wrap their kids in cotton wool, right? We're not those parents. So if he's playing up, if you get a hint that he needs a kick in the ass, I know you're not allowed to do that physically. I said, but don't be afraid of giving him a fright. You'll get 100% support.
So, Doc, what happens if Mr. R takes the strap to him and he gets home and his ass is fucking bleeding and you would head in there and you would kick Mr. Strap, Mr. R and the agates?
No, I'd say to Freddie, what did you do?
Yeah.
Mm.
What'd you do? Right? Because, mate, I got it. You know, I had to put the hand out and cop six of the best across the hand when I was at school. I know they don't do that anymore. Now,
unfortunately,
obviously, if he came home and he was injured or something, I'd be saying, well, what did the teacher do? But, mate, 99.9% of the time, I'm going to be saying, what did you do? You must have done something. But I just wanted the teacher to know, hey, mate, you know, I know you've got to handle every kid differently, but we're the type of parents who can handle you going hard. So if you need to give him a clip around the ears, verbally or however you need to do it, just do it.
That's a hornet's nest, Doc. Mr. R might be a minor attracted person, which is the new name for pedophiles.
Yeah,
I
don't think we would even joke about such a thing, Sam, because you would work that out. But yeah, on other issues, can I ask another question if you don't mind?
No, I don't.
Have we heard from Don? Because I'm starting to wonder whether Don's ever coming back. I heard you last week on the podcast saying that you've got this rotating list of guests now and different people coming in different weeks, and you mentioned that Don might even be one of them.
No.
So considering I've failed miserably at luring Don back into the podcast, are we going to put Sue on the job? Are we going to put Ivan on the job? Is the Muff Man going to do it? Who's going to bring back Don?
You've taken a topic I was going to bring up with you, Doc. We read out some of the comments. All of them, most of them are good. Or all of them are. And we read out the ones that, you know, give us a belting. And all of them are, where's Don? And we just said on the preview, listen to the previous part, one of this, we said... someone said, why do I call Ben Fordham Dr. Ben, as if you've been living on Mars or on a Jupiter? And I said, because Dr. Ben Fordham thought that Don was playing me on a break. He couldn't be that silly, and he was psychoanalyzing him, so we called him Dr. Ben Fordham, MD, Managing Don. Well,
correct.
Sue says that she used to speak to Don four times a day. He doesn't speak to her now. I don't know if this is because she knows me, and I'm wondering, do you ever speak to Don, and how bad have you been as a doctor?
Don could be dead.
Oh, no, don't say that.
He's gone underground, has he?
Don could be dead.
No. Well, don't you speak to him anymore? Doesn't he even speak to you?
Well, no, I haven't heard from him in a while. Can someone go and do a welfare check on
welfare
Don?
Welfare check, yeah.
Go and tap on the door. He might have been kicked by a horse.
Bitten
by a dog.
It's all right. I know it's all right to make a joke of this, Doc, but I signed you on as a medical man to do this, and I've lifted your profile. Everyone now knows you as Dr. Ben Fordham, and they say, what degree is he? He's a doctor of music. He's a doctor, I said, of a doctor of psychoanalyzing Don Scott.
Philosophy.
And you've just thrown your hands in the air. You talk about weak as piss not going on the Moomba parade when it's hot. Do something, man. Get the Hippocratic oath going.
I would have to kidnap him at gunpoint and drag him in there to the studio. So that's why I think that Ivan is underrated as a negotiator, right?
Well,
and I think he's a good middleman. Everyone likes Ivan. You never hear anyone say anything bad about Ivan, right?
Oh, here we go. Next week's comments.
Yeah, I'm telling
now,
you, the rest of us.
Just as you've said that, Doc,
going,
just sent a text out to Don. I said, are you still alive? People are wondering. So,
now, Doc, I asked this. This seemed to be a provocative question. It wasn't meant to be. And, of course, no one could answer the thing clinically. I'm asking you, who do you think is the most recognisable person on the planet at the minute living? And I, I asked this advisedly. Would you think it's Taylor Swift or Ronaldo? What's his name? Cristiano Ronaldo or someone in American politics at the minute? Whether you like any of those people I've mentioned or not, just clinically speaking, who do you think is the most recognisable, not liked or whatever, person on the planet at the minute?
I would say the two most recognisable people on the planet would be Donald Trump and Taylor Swift. Donald Trump would have more recognition than Joe Biden, right? A lot of people go, oh, yeah, that's that guy. He's a American guy or whatever. But everyone knows Donald Trump. Donald Trump, I reckon, would be the most recognizable person in the world. Mm-hmm. And I reckon Taylor Swift would come in at number two.
Agreed.
Yeah, brilliant. Well, that's what we said. And you'll think that we rigged this question and the answer.
I didn't say that.
No, Sue said, which is fair enough, she said Cristiano Ronaldo. And I think I said to Ivan, Ivan said the Pope. I said, well, what's the Pope's name? Is he Frank Swanson or Billy Bunter? He said, no, correct. He's just the Pope. Well, no one knows who the fucking Pope is, so we've got to put a name to it.
Another name to throw in there would be Warwick Capper.
The Wiz.
The Wiz.
Absolutely.
Holy shit.
Like, you know, he's got a brothel now, doesn't he, The Wiz?
He has,
and he's had to close it down. There was too much fucking overhead because it was two stories.
Hey, listen, by the way, The Wiz, if you go and have a look at his Instagram page, I don't know whether it's his page or whether it's the page for the brothel, and I've got to apologise, I can't remember the name of what the establishment's called. But you've got to go and have a look at some of the Instagram videos of him promoting his establishment because it's like, oh, mate, it's just unbelievable. I don't know whether someone said to him, yeah, Warwick, this will be a good idea, or whether it was Warwick convincing himself that it would be a good idea. But go and have a look at the videos. And I reckon it's probably time to get him in and find out how that business is going.
And now, seeing as you try and pinch most of our top sporting events, you've tried to usurp the Melbourne Cup by having the, whatever that's called, the Emirates.
The Everest.
Yeah, and you tried to, we tried to pinch the Sydney to Hobart yacht race once, but it didn't really work out if you're going to start it from Melbourne. What about the Grand Prix? Would you think New South Wales would clamber to have the Formula One Grand Prix? Because the Formula One Grand Prix has become an absolute joke that is not competitive. It's not exciting. The cars look fantastic, and so do the people who follow the whole caravan round. But what a disgrace that fully grown multi-megastar millionaires can actually run an event that's not even appealing as far as competitiveness goes. It's a joke.
Yeah, I heard your comments on the last week, and you know, it's obviously a one horse race, and that's Red Bull, so there's not much you can do about that. But look, I don't watch it. I've always just found it way too repetitive, and I can't handle watching cars go around and around and around. It's a bit like a game of basketball sometimes too. I reckon you can watch the last 60 seconds and you get the gist. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So it's like that kind of does it for me. But look, I think we will launch a bid to steal the Grand Prix from Victoria. And the way we do it, we just go to the Grand Prix authorities and say, look, Melbourne can't host Moomba, right?
Because of the weather.
Why would they be able to host this, right? Moomba or Moomba or whatever the hell it is.
I mean, if the day is 35, it's cancelled, right?
Yeah, and also Grand Prix we can't guarantee if we host the Grand Prix there'll be any water there because Sue hasn't organised.
Now, Doc, finally, we'll have you happy for you to stay on as long as you like. But
I've got to run pretty soon.
Do you have a dog?
No, but we're getting one.
Ah, well, now. So we were just discussing a woman who had her dog attacked. I don't know if you saw this. A woman had her dog attacked, and she said to get the attacking dog off her dog, she thought quickly that this might do it.
Finger up the bum.
Yes.
Yep. That's
it. Have you heard that before?
He knows.
Yeah.
Gee, it'd get your attention, wouldn't it? I mean, if you were fighting someone, the person you were fighting reached around and stuck their finger up your aort, I reckon.
Maybe it works.
I reckon that'd stop you beating the living shit out of them, I reckon.
Doesn't work with people.
It is scientifically. And that's why I knew about it, that if you confronted you know, if you're confronted in a situation like that where a dog was attacking and it wasn't letting go and the jaw was locked and whatever, that is one way of sorting it out. And look, if you get caught up in a road rage incident, you could also give it a go yourself.
Who would have ever thought to stick their finger up a dog's ass? That's all I'm saying. It's like, who would have ever thought to eat an oyster in the first place? Take an oyster off a rock bed and eat that slimy piece of snot and think, shit, this is tasty.
I remember going to the vet with our dog when we were kids. My brother and I had to take our dog in there, and we went in there, and the vet put a thermometer up the rear of our dog, Jack.
He wasn't impressed.
And my brother and I felt like bashing this bloke. We thought he was violating our poor dog. And we were both looking at each other thinking, hang on, who's going to punch him first? And he said, oh, I've got to do this. This is how... Do they actually have to do that? Is that how they get their dog's temperature? Because that's what he did to Jack.
No, they do. I know they do.
Well, they can't put it under their armpit, and they probably couldn't put it in their mouth because they'd break it or bite on it.
It'd swallow the mercury. I just hope
Sam doesn't start practicing putting his finger up my dog's bum just for...
Well, that's right. You've got to be...
Just for practicing.
There's a practice there.
I'm just hoping that no one sticks a thermometer up my ass just to get my temperature...
Oh, there's Sam pretending like he wouldn't like to know what it feels like.
thank you, Doc. I can assure you I would not like to know what it feels like. And
we'll let you know next week, then.
Yeah. I might do it for research purposes.
Take it under advisement.
I love you all, we'll talk in a couple of weeks.
Good on you, Doc.
See you, mate.
See you, Doc.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. Bye. Thanks. Yep. Now, we're just going on with this because... the doc. He's good value, the doc. Why wouldn't he speak to Don? Because they were thick as thieves, they were.
Don's just doing his general stuff.
He's just doing his daily stuff. Rude, arrogant, pompous, stepping back from society... That's how that particular ritual of his.
No, he just needs the horses need his attention.
Well, give him a ring, see how he's going. They didn't get a response, I'll bet. We only just reflect what people ask us, I can mention this now that Michael Christian Menswear.com. I saw Michael Christian, the AFL man, who is the match review committee man person. And I saw him at a function. This is just shows how my brain's going. I saw him at a function. I said, would you come on the podcast? He said, I would. I said, but I have to get it cleared from the AFL. And so I texted him. I texted Michael Christian. And I said, nice to know you can come on the podcast, Michael. And when would that be? And he texts back and he said, well, I'm coming over from Tasmania in a fortnight. And I thought, fuck, I've sent it to the wrong Michael Christian. I don't want him to come on the podcast. Well, he's welcome to come on, Michael Christian Menswear, but I sent it to the wrong Michael Christian. So Michael Christian Menswear thought I was saying, when can you come on the podcast? And he said, I'm coming over from Tassie because that's where he's domiciled. So I've had to correct. So Michael Christian Menswear.
He's always
Michael
welcome.
Christian.
He's always welcome.
Who?
MichaelChristian.com.
Oh, yes. Menswear. Of course he's welcome. But Michael Christian, I shouldn't preempt this, but he said he'd come on next week. Michael Christian. Have we got some good questions? Nice, sensible questions to ask Michael Christian.
But what was the second part of that texting comment? When you actually text the real Michael Christensen? And
Michael
then he sent a text, and it took you about, I reckon it took him about 3 days to work out what it actually meant and who it was.
Yes, because MichaelChristianMenswear.com, he responded, me thinking it was Michael Christian, the AFL, and I thought, what the fuck is he talking about? And then I worked out I'd sent it to the wrong Michael Christian. So why did I mention that?
Why?
Because he might be on next week,
no,
is he?
Next week.
Caps.
No, I know. It's going to be Caps. He says, Michael Christian, wanted me to give a shout-out. And three people I said I'd give a shout-out to. I wrote them in that little notebook I got, and I can't find it in the notebook, see, unless you've written them down. I'd like to... MichaelChristianMenswear.com said, could I send a shout-out to Giuseppe from Airport West? That's the only shout-out that Michael Christian's got, but he said he has got a limited number of caps with Don Scott's signature on them and my signature. He said they're collector's items. Now, he said there's not many left. We're limiting to one cap per person. If you write in, you can't say you want two or three or four of them. They're limited edition, one cap per person, but he said he still has some. And they if Don is
paying a premium for them.
Is Don dead? What is Don? Happened?
No response yet. Right, let me check.
He could be dead.
No,
and
he
might
be.
It's a bit like the artist. If you can buy some art where the artist has actually died,
the value.
Existentially, the
value goes up.
Exponentially.
Right.
Exponentially.
Exponentially. The value goes up overnight. If Don has expired, right, those caps, I'll tell you, be limited to one a person. So we've got the You Cannot Be Serious caps. Now.
What about the shout-outs from yesterday with the Mornington Sand and Soil that you did? Remember that girl?
Yeah, the Mornington Sand and Soil. We went down to get some Africa. I can't believe that. I don't know why I'm mentioning this. So Sue is just renovating. I was just going down as an advisor and just as a landscape designer. I was just overseeing the project, and we needed some whitewashed stone pebbles to put. She did. So we drive up to this sand and soil joint, and I can hear a jangling in Sue's pockets of her tracksuit. And I thought she's got coins in there. And I said, "What's jangling?" And she pulls out four stones. I said, "You've bought them as samples, have you? To see?" I said, "You couldn't remember what coloured stones you've got in your garden. You've had to bring three samples." And I said, the bloke said, "What are you here for?" I showed him these three stones. He said, "Yeah, what are they?" I said, "They're stones." He said, "I can see that. What have you bought them for?" He said, "Have you got similar stones?" He said, "Well, not exactly the same dimensions." He said, "They might be very little." He said, "They're exactly..." If you couldn't remember what sort of stones you... Anyhow...
Were they the same colour?
Of course they were the same.
Well, bullshit.
That is a landscaping term.
Yep. Bullshit.
Bullshit, yeah. Oh, right. Sometimes we call it fertiliser, sometimes we call it manure, but sometimes we just call it shit. So
it's a slightly different colour.
The woman, very charming lass, who is the owner, didn't get a name. From Mornington Sand and Soil. And her two sons work there, or one of them anyhow. She said, "If you hose the stones, that will take the dust off them and that will make them the same colour as the sample three stones that Sue brought in." The woman thought that she was going to say, "Do you want 600 of these particular stones, going to count them out one by one?" I think that's why she bought them, but no, she just wanted half a yard of stones. So that's where shouting out to the lass, very charming woman from, and then the people at the Mornington, well, they don't listen to the podcast, but the Mornington Tip.
Recycle centre, isn't it?
That's the new way to say it. Yeah, they're not just the garbage place, it's the recycling centre. yes, it's like the bloke who used to live at Goat Hill and they renamed it Angora Heights just because they think it sounded better.
Fancier.
So
Karen and Karen, wasn't it? Karen, was it Karen and Karen?
Karen.
Karen and Karen.
Kaz and Kaz.
That was so excited to see Sam.
Did you get a discount on the stones, on the pebbles?
Well, if you drop off the electrical goods, you had a wall oven, mm-hmm. and we just sort of you dump it up for free, and they've got a shop out the front, so that's why they recycle it. So, and we just couldn't get them. Like it was like they were just so besotted by you, weren't they?
They give you free stones?
Turn up in the Mustang?
Discount on the stones?
They're only human, Susan.
You couldn't get it quick enough. Where do we dump this off? Sam, can I get a picture? Where can we dump this off? Yeah. Can I get a picture? Sam?
I got a little firm. they swamped.
They were lovely.
They were actually really good. Now, let me, I don't know if you've been eating out lately, Muff Man?
Sure.
To upmarket restaurants. I can mention the name of this restaurant because we're not knocking it. Mm-hmm. But someone told me they went to a joint called the Botswana Butchery. What is it?
Botswana Butchery.
Is that what it's called?
I don't know. Who's telling you?
Wow.
That sounds fancy.
Okay.
Where's that?
Botswana.
In Botswana?
No, it's
African delicacy.
Botswana butcher or something else.
I'd say the meat would be good.
What's it called?
Who's talking
about? What's the butcher? That's the name of a restaurant.
Botswana.
Is it called the Botswana?
African restaurant.
It's just a steakhouse.
What do they serve?
Yeah, steak. No, it's an upmarket restaurant in the CBD.
Yep.
And, a steak is...
steak
you
is
have
a
to
steak.
Mortgage your house to have one. The Botswana butcher. Just Google how much a steak is, please. Just as a matter
one of those tomahawk steaks?
Tomahawk from Botswana.
I like Vlados. Vlados for steaks.
Spear steak. It's just get their menu... I'm not knocking the Botswana butcher. I'm sort of about to.
Mm-hmm.
Not knock them.
Good.
But how did you end up there, Sam?
What?
How did you end up at the Botswana?
Didn't. Someone said they went to the Botswana butcher, and the reason I'm telling you this is because they got charged.
Uh-huh.
They wanted mustard with the steak. Yep, they got charged for the mustard.
It's a bit.
And they got charged. Someone wanted mayonnaise on the salad, and they got charged for the mayonnaise. And I thought
they're charging for side.
Did they charge? Well, is that a side dish?
Not really. It's
it's a condiment.
Condiment. They don't charge for condiments.
Charge for condiments.
Right.
And I'm not knocking the restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of. And I said, did they charge you for the bread? Because a lot of restaurants now charge for bread.
Yep.
And just if you want some bread and some olive oil and some.
Vinegar.
I think a steak is right up there. I thought maybe they could extend
250 gram stone axe wagyu oyster blade.
Yep. All right.
How much?
Have a guess. $100.
Okay. So it's 250 gram. That's as much as your mobile phone worth.
Or 500 O'Connor ribeye. Is 110.
Okay, a ribeye, an O'Connor.
So it ranges between, 60 and 120.
What happens if you wanted the big, that's the most expensive, is it?
115 is the
okay, so
vintage.
$115 for a steak.
That's pretty expensive.
Pretty expensive, Muff Man. And you would have to pay for the sides, the chips and the salad
pieces.
And the spinach and the greens and all that.
And
I understand. I'm charging for the mustard and the mayonnaise, I thought was a fraction rude.
Yep.
But
I'll tell you where I had a good steak.
Hey, Botswana people might get onto me and say,
you've had Sunshine.
Yeah. What?
Sunshine had a good steak.
Really?
Over there.
Sunshine.
Yeah, I had to navigate over there.
The RSL, was it?
there was a place.
Sunshine is like the project over in Chicago.
Well,
is where
I'm thinking they go and I won't tell you the store, of course.
Why'd you go to Sunshine?
Because they've got some pretty cheap steaks. You buy
you
them.
You drove over to Sunshine to buy a steak.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck me, dear.
you buy them out of the back of a truck. Actually.
Vlados is good for steaks. I'm sure you know about Vlados.
Yes, I do.
Yep.
So, just speaking of Sunshine. A friend of mine who was in was the member for Sunshine over in went over to a seminar over in the States of all suburban council people.
Yep.
It was just a big junket, and they had to say where they're from. And he said he got up and he said, "Yes, I'm Billy Bunter from I'm the member for Sunshine." And the bloke running it said, the member for Sunshine, he said, would you regulate the weather? Or he said, what happens? Do you have to go to work if the sun's not out? He said, no, Sunshine's the name. Yeah, so he thought, it does sound, if you think about it, the member for Sunshine.
Sounds like a climate change.
A few
thing,
more
you know?
Accolades than what it really should have.
It's like the people that come over and say, I went down the Nepean Highway, and they say, you where?
The Nepean
Highway, yeah.
Or Riddles Creek.
Oh, yes.
Another very good thing, Riddles Creek. The number of people who say, I'm going out to Riddles Creek, it's Riddell's Creek.
Riddell.
Because the man who it was named after was called Frank Riddell.
Yep. It was
if you look up his name, it tells you how to pronounce his name.
It's a bit like Hamer Hall.
That's right, yes. Hamer Hall.
MC Hammer.
MC
Hammer Hall.
So Riddles Creek.
A famous rapper.
And then we get on to, it's just a bit like saying H. Once you do that, you're out. That's it. You're not employed.
I'm still here.
If you came in for a job and said, pronounce that letter there, and they said, H, thank you so much, we'll get back to you.
have you been watching TV when people say, you know, when you say hi or hey, Sam, or whatever, they just go, hey.
Hey.
And the other people go, hey.
Yeah, that's right. And so they walk in and say, hey. And they go, hey. Can I read this out about the answer the person gave on the quiz show?
Yeah, you can do it.
Are you sure?
Oh.
I didn't.
Which quiz show?
Well, it said.
In the
category state. Said, what's the category? Now, please, I'm just saying this is what. I'm not. It was the category was they had. So what's the category? They said sport. And they said, "All right."
Oh, what,
is that?
I know.
Yeah.
I think you've told me this. You've told me this.
Well,
one.
I showed it to you. They showed the person asking the question, and it said, "What's
this?
What,
is the real thing?
What is? If it's sport, he said, what is the race that stops a nation?
Yep.
Melbourne and Cup.
Well, that's the. Of course, that's the answer. And the bloke said. The Aboriginal.
The Aboriginal? What's that?
The Aboriginal race.
Oh.
That was on the...
That was on 6PR. That was in Perth.
That's correct.
Yeah.
He said, now, your category is sport. He said, all right, what's the race that stops the nation? He said, Aboriginal.
That's a bit of lateral thinking.
That's kind of funny.
That's what you call lateral thinking, isn't it?
Very clever.
Extremely clever.
It's like the amazing race.
We don't concur. We don't... We're not subscribing to that. We're just saying that is just a diverse piece of thinking. That is lateral thinking in the extreme. Edward de Bono being the master of lateral thinking.
You know Edward de Bono?
What?
You know Edward de Bono?
I do know Edward de Bono.
Thinking hats?
What? What'd you say?
The Thinking Caps. That's his famous book. Is it the Seven Thinking Caps? Can I do a shout-out, Sam? Would that be allowed?
Yes.
We have Mr. Topher Field is doing a very interesting event up
that's
in...
That's not a shout-out. That's an ad.
Oh, okay. Is that allowed, Sue?
Yes, well, absolutely.
You've started it, haven't you?
Oh, all right. I'll finish it then.
Come on.
Quickly, Albury Entertainment Centre from March to the 15th. At Albury.
Albury, yeah.
Entertainment Centre, 15th to the 17th in March, this weekend,
and
basically.
And what's he speaking about?
Well, it's Senator Ralph Babbitt. It's Warren Mundine, Monica Smith, who's on this show.
Yeah.
Topher Field, Graham Hood or Hoodie.
What is the idea?
Hoodie. Libertarian.
Hoodie. It's a is that the man Hoodie? What's his name?
Graham Hood.
Oh,
he was an ex-Qantas pilot.
So what is the thrust of the convention or the show? Is it to show, are they libertarians?
That's it, big ideas for a big Australia. They're all anti-lockdown and all anti-what happened during the pandemic. And it's a big event happening. And if you're interested in that kind of thing, you might find it interesting. And that's all. It's called the Triple Conference.
And where is it?
It's at the Albury Entertainment Centre in Albury.
Now... this is almost finally. You might remember that Sue, I think it was you. If I'm not tipping you in here, there's nothing to be tipped in about. Remember, we had Pauline Hanson on.
Yes,
Senator Hanson,
yes.
And you said she.
Well, no,
was,
I didn't say.
No,
you asked me for some research on it, which you often
that's
do.
That's right. Good. I often do, and you looked it up. And it said that Fatty Vorton was Pauline Hanson's
it's still
sibling.
Up. Yep. June 2021 it was
it's
done.
It's still up there and it's got a picture of them both and they almost look like twins. And So I rang Fatty Vorton up and I said, Fat. I call him Fat. Everyone calls him Fatty. I used to call him Fat. I said, Fat, are you Pauline Hanson's brother? And he went, fucking what?
Yeah.
I said,
that's him.
Fat, settle down.
The right
Fat, it's only a question. I'm not an accusation. He said, no, shit no, he said. I said, well, it wouldn't matter because Pauline Hanson's a very nice person. And he wasn't saying she wasn't. He said, no. I said, have you ever heard that before? He said, no. Did he say that?
No.
Because it was
Wasn't it a skit on the... NRL footy show.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, well,
yeah,
there
that
you
was,
are.
Yeah,
but that's how...
I
well,
think that's
anyhow,
where that's...
Well, so Sue looked it up.
Originated from.
And it's got...
The Doc Wall, no?
It's got on the website.
It's one of those things that he should have asked Pauline. Like, it would have been a good, funny conversation. Yeah. You, straight from the horse's mouth, because this is, oh, they've had a conversation. It's a whole article. So it looks like it's kind of real. Mm. So it would have been good. And he goes, why didn't you tell me? And I said, I forgot to give it to
him. That's exactly right. Here's the person that says, gives me information and, you know, sits here and says, oh, you've got to provide most of the stuff you talk about. I said, well, what about that? Why didn't you tell me about that, Susan?
I forgot because, you know, it's really hard telling Sam that to obviously who doesn't listen or maybe just blocks it in one ear and out the other.
Sam doesn't listen?
No.
Had you met Pauline Hanson before?
So you know how hard a job I've got.
Yes.
Now, had you met Pauline Hanson before? Yeah.
A long time ago, I think I had a dance with her up at a surf club up in, like, before she was even in. Oh, yeah, she must have been in politics, or I wouldn't have been able to dance with her.
Yeah.
Hey?
Yep. Can you dance?
Well, we were just, I was pissed. I was just standing there. She was holding me up.
Because I listened to the interview. She seemed a bit flirty on the.
No, not with me. She's not flirty. Well, mind you.
She was friendly, though.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
She was standing. It was a good interview. You're standing erect and breathing. You're through to the semis without dropping a set. Now, Suzanne, this is finally. Barney McCusker, who provides a lot of good content for this. He's a doctor, and Don says that his eyesight's gone. He's got the shakes, and he can't understand why he's still operating, which I thought, Barney, if ever you're going to sue anyone, that would be good. But no, he takes it in the humour that it's meant from Don. You know, the old laugh-aloud boy, the
bang, bang, bang.
The stand-up comic that Don is. Barney said that Don and I have been proven right because the Victorian outgoing ombudsman, which is unusual because it's a woman called Deborah Glass. Why is she called an ombudsman? Should be an ombudsperson.
It should be.
But anyhow, it says in the Australian, the Victorian outgoing ombudsman, Deborah Glass, has agreed almost... it must have been listening to the podcast because she said the stuff. And do you know what an ombudsman is? It's a government or a government official who hears and investigates complaints. A government official who hears and investigates complaints. That's what an ombudsman is.
In what area?
Well, government. Fine. Government.
You could have an energy ombudsman. So you could have
financial services.
Kind of an adjudicator.
So gas
she
or electricity.
Said the complaints that they had shared to. This is the gist of the article. Complaints they had to investigate over the Andrews government were staggering, and she said they were the most uncooperative. She didn't say that. We're just saying, if you read between those, the most uncooperative people that talk about earning your money being there. So she is the outgoing ombudsman.
She's retiring, is she?
I think she's retiring.
We're saying.
Barney supplied this information. And he...
I wonder if the Allen government is better than the Andrews government.
Seems quieter. You don't seem to hear as much about it. You know what I mean? Which is actually a relief in itself.
Probably she hasn't had to lie on behalf of the government as much as Andrews had to lie on behalf of his government because all the damage has been done and he's just vacated
Where is he?
The premises.
Is he still here in Victoria? Andrews?
I think he's trying to join a golf club up in New South Wales or something.
And the great Morgan Freeman, do you know who he is? He's a black actor in America.
Mm-hmm.
Black actor. He was asked about. It was celebrating Black Month in America.
Black History Month.
History Month, and he said. And he took exception to their history being relegated to a month. He said, why are we speaking about just a month of our history? He said, we are Americans, a bit like we're saying we're Australians. And he said, you know, the best way to stop racism and curb it and curb the chat about it is to stop speaking about
it. Stop talking about
it. He said, just stop speaking about it. He said, in effect, what Lionel Rose said, we are all one people. We're not all one people. We are all people in one country, and we're trying to get on. Mm-hmm. And the more you try and divide us by saying it's Black History Month, or we're having a yes vote, no vote, or the Melbourne City Council is having a vote to recognition, or whatever, if you could just... And I noticed that...
Funnily enough, Sam.
I noticed there's a man making a film about... It's a very good plot about two Aboriginal footballers who rescue the club in its
Is it a specific club?
No, it's just it's a fictional film about two Aboriginal players that come down from the country and they rescue the failing stocks
local
of the
club.
And it's a promotion for the Indigenous people. And the bloke, and I just had to it just goes on and on. It said, the man playing it, and they asked Adam Goods to go along to the, and he said he didn't want to go along apparently because he didn't want to open up all the stuff about him being booed and that.
Mm-hmm.
And it said... And I'm just saying this, and I've said this. And
I think people are over that, aren't they?
Keep bringing it up, and they keep... So I said, I've said this on the Footy Show, and I have nothing against Adam Goods, and I honestly don't. And I have nothing against anyone of any race or anything. But let's just try and get the record straight, because Adam Goods was booed. Because at an Indigenous round in 2015, which I was at, he pretended to throw a spear. And I thought, that's lighthearted, good on him. He pretended to throw a spear at the Carlton cheer squad because the Sydney Swans were pumping Carlton by 10 goals. And Carlton cheer squad and all the Carlton supporters started booing him.
Mm-hmm.
And I said it wasn't because he was an Aboriginal, it's because he was inciting them by being provocative. So everyone then started booing him, and then people said, oh, well, it's because he's an Aboriginal. Now, I'm going to say this, and I've said it plenty of times before. I played with an Aboriginal player for 5 years called Graham Polly Farmer. I never heard anyone boo him because he was an Aboriginal. They booed him because he was a good player, and he kept beating their good players, therefore they didn't like him because he was the thorn in most of their opposition sides, and they booed him, I never heard anyone shout out racist comments over the fence. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying that Adam Goods, and this man says here, it says here, the story of Adam Goods is inspirational, says the actor who plays him. I love retelling it. I love spreading the truth. Well, I'm saying that's not the truth.
No.
The truth is, that's my opinion, the truth is that he was booed because he incited the Carlton cheer squad. And then the AFL under McLaughlin said, please, could you stop booing Adam? And that, as I've said many times before, if you want to tell someone to stop doing something, they're going to do it in spades because you've just asked them not to.
Exactly.
Yeah. And unless people, and it's like how we, I keep mentioning this, like we got rounded up this podcast about speaking about Nicky Winmar. If you don't push back on it, people think that that's right. And I just keep pushing back on it because it's not right.
Somebody asked me.
Point of being accused of being a racist, I couldn't care less if you call me a racist or whatever, because no one even knows what that means. Racism is about hate.
Mm-hmm.
We hate no one, but we like to have the facts portrayed as they are.
Now, a person through the week asked me, where is that episode? Because they wanted to watch it. To listen to it. Well, and I said, I'm not sure.
It's part of the conversation, part of the podcast when Scott and Sheehan and I wasn't at the game, I've just said this 100 times, they were discussing about whether Nicky Winmar, what the general perception was, why he lifted his jumper up. And the two people who were at the game, Scott and Sheehan, said the overwhelming majority of the crowd thought it wasn't about his skin colour. Mm-hmm. And then we had the photographer, the bloke called Wayne Ludley, came on or made comments about that. He was a patent liar. That man, because he said stuff about us that just a lie. Right. And what happened was that The part of the deal was that we got fined $100,000 for vilification by McLaughlin and his little henchman lawyer. Mm-hmm. And part of the deal was that the podcast had to be removed so you couldn't hear it. You couldn't hear the absolute genuine discussion about what we thought
what
it was about.
Yeah. Okay.
And at all times we said, if Winmar says it's about his skin colour, that's what it is. But no, that wasn't good enough for him. And last week I mentioned Dwayne Russell wrote a thing in The Age saying that the love story and the myth of all that and the emotional, beautiful story about Winmar and probably goods and all these things are just not really how they were. He said that he's done some investigation and Winmar told Dwayne Russell that it wasn't actually about, it was about his weight and his body. And he said, but we're not even allowed to discuss that in case we drag someone's name in an untoward fashion. That's why I push back on all this stuff. And they say, oh, you keep going on about it. Because it's just bullshit.
Yep. And oddly enough, woke politics seems to actually provoke the very thing it's supposedly trying to cure. That's what Morgan Freeman was trying to say. Stop talking about it, but it's the way that woke constantly talks about it, does seem to inflame the actual thing that they're supposedly trying to cure.
What about Joel Selwood and Chad Wingard and Bomber Harvey, who had also been booed in their career over the years?
And correct, because they're great players.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and we notice also, we're sort of winding this up, Sue, that now the Cracker Brothers, Phil and Jim, and a whole host of others are now suing Kevin Sheedy and Terry Danaher.
What's that about?
It's about the fact that they've been racially abused by fans over the fence for all those years.
Sounds like bullshit to me.
Sounds like money.
It's just a grab. And it's they're being organised by the activists who seriously.
Well, if there's
and if you keep saying this stuff, they keep saying, oh, you're a racist.
See, they want this division. That's what, in my opinion.
Right.
They want this division.
Right. These are some of the shout outs. All right. Heidi, they say. Alicia says, Heidi sounds like Julia Gillard. She laughs and cackles and that's what... But don't worry. Deb, Ashley, we've said that. Well, they miss Don and Phoebe. Sandy Gibbo, why does... Oh, Dr. Ben. Static Dancer. A Static Dancer wrote a small novel. He texted a fucking 8-page thing about the podcast.
Yeah. In a bad light.
Static man.
He's got to go home and read it.
I've got to go home and read it. I don't know.
The words.
If it was just a slagging, you couldn't write that much about it. There wouldn't be that many words you could write that could slag. Glenn Horsehead. I don't know. Glenn Horsted.
Horsted.
But his tagline is Horsehead.
Right. Okay. He wants to know, we've got a picture of a cat's head on an emblem with Mike Sheehan and me when Mike Sheehan and I used to do the podcast, or when Mike Sheehan left the podcast, we superseded his
with the head.
Yep.
And Don's on the other side, isn't he?
Yep.
So, Sue, I want you to get rid of the cat's head and just get... Don's not here anymore, so I don't know. Just make me the cat.
Hang on, I'll have to get a good photo. I might have to...
Tom Sargent has had a gutful of us. He said he has left the building. He is not listening anymore. So, Tom...
Every week.
You next week.
This is a bit redundant giving a shout-out because you're not listening anymore. Yeah. But we take your point. You're not listening anymore. And ring in next week and tell us if we got any better. And this is Dick Anundo.
Dick Anundo.
What's that say?
Annuncio. Yeah.
Dick
Anundo.
So Dick says, I don't know if he means, he says, practicing fuckwits and... Practicing fuckwits and we've got fuckwit guests. I'm
that's
a fuckwit
rude.
And the guests we get on are fuckwits. And this is Dick Anundo is saying that
we're all... At least he's listening.
What I'm going to say. Yeah. So Dick. How appropriate. Your name's called Dick if you're a fuckwit. you're a dickwit. You're an arsehat. You're a cocksmack. So, Dickie boy, listen in again. Someone said, oh, what time's the nursing home close its doors? I should be there. So it's good. We love it. It's good. But don't... we'll get on to you sooner or later that you're just saying these things because you think you'll get your name read out. But we did like that, practicing fuckwit and fuckwit guests. So that's a good wrap, I reckon, to finish on. And there we are.
I'm open around the streets late at night. I'm worried because you